What is up, everybody? I am here with Odysseus Andriano, otherwise known as Odie. I've known him for a few years, and I like the excitement you got. I actually was just on your website, alchemyhealingacademy.com. I was looking at some of your Zooms, and I was actually very impressed with how lively your Zooms are and just how interactive. I even think there was a rap song on one of them in the beginning of the Money Magic Zoom. But I'm super excited to have you here. I've got his book, Shadow Awakening, that I read in this last week. I really liked how simple it was. It took a lot of the concepts that are important, and you masterfully narrowed them down into a few pages. And it's a workbook as well. Simple exercises. So for me, I love simplicity. And just how entertaining this book was to go through and to work on. And actually, it's shadow work is one of those things for me that I you never really want to do, right? It's kind of like I can skip this exercise, but I actually did almost all the exercises in it, and I'm proud of myself for doing that because I did discover a lot. But before I keep on rambling on, Odie, why don't you give a little introduction about yourself, how you got into this work, and then we can roll from there.
Yeah, man, sounds great. First off, I want to thank you for just the work that you're doing, spreading this wisdom across the world and having me come on here and talk about a very important subject. I mean, I feel that shadow work is arguably one of the most important tools that people can use on their healing journey. And just to be clear what healing means to make whole. And as you mentioned, I run the Alchemy Healing Academy. And a lot of doing this work comes down to ancient principles that we've kind of forgotten, that we've lost. And just to share some of my journey. So years ago, I was a gym owner just like you, ran my own gym for 11 years, opened a corporate gym. I was basically living the fitness trainer's dream, running these gyms and whatnot. And I had this back pain that showed up for me. It was about like 6, 7, 8 years ago. And this back pain was like debilitating. Like I had a slip disc in my back, and I went to doctors, therapists, osteopaths, chiropractors, you name it. I was going to all these different Western medicine doctors and none of them could figure it out. I'd have like little treatments, you know, I'd take some drugs for a little bit. It would dull the pain, you know, and I got to this place where I was personally struggling with my own mental and emotional health because my body wasn't healing. And I was literally running my gym. I'd wake up in the morning, take a painkiller, go to work, run my gym. And I had a doctor said, you can't lift more than 30 pounds. I'm like, doc, I'm running a gym. I got to lift more than 30 pounds. And so I was in this very dark place, like making good money, helping lots of people, but my back was in so much pain. And I got to this place where I finally went and worked with a shaman. And this shaman told me that I was carrying emotional wounds in my back, in my sacrum. And I was like, you know, and like people just like they scratch the record. It's like, what? like emotional pain in my back? Like no one ever taught me about that. And just a little more of my background. I have a degree in kinesiology, so I'm pretty body aware. And like, I'd never heard of emotions being in the body. And so this took me down this rabbit hole of understanding Eastern philosophy, five element theory, Taoist alchemy, and specifically shadow work. And so going through this journey of understanding how emotions can actually get stuck in the body, one of my favorite quotes comes from Lillian Bridges. She says, there's no such thing as a good or a bad emotion, only stuck emotions. And that's essentially what I was struggling with. I had stuck emotions and I didn't know how to move them. And so I worked with quantum healing, Taoist alchemy, and I was finally able to heal myself. And none of this Western medicine stuff works, or it works in terms of like when it comes to emotional stuff. And oftentimes they're not even mentioning it. So I share that. That's basically my origin story of how I got to this place where I'm now teaching the healing arts. I still teach some fitness and nutrition stuff, but I realize the future of health, healing, medicine, and learning how to become our greatest self really comes down to two things: our emotions and regulating our nervous system, which are both very related and whatnot. And so that's the whole key to this journey, is understanding the power that you have to heal yourself. And that's the thing that I'm so excited about when we talk about shadow work, because when we speak of shadow work, it's a three-step process: acknowledging your shadow, integrating your shadow, and then, just like the title of my book, awakening your shadow. Because once you go through that journey, you start to show up as who you were always meant to be. And instead of suppressing emotions, you've integrated those emotions. And that's when the magic happens in people's lives. And that's why I love teaching this stuff and sharing my story and my journey with other people.
You said so much. the thing, I actually read that in your book, there's no such thing as a good or bad emotion, just stuck emotions. And that really hit because it was relevant. the emotions happen, are we able to let them flow through and enjoy the experience even, or are we just going to get stuck on it? So could you elaborate a little bit more on what it means for an emotion to be stuck in your body and how that could impact somebody?
No, totally. That's the thing I love about Taoist alchemy, because just like what you said, stuck emotions, we look at, like, when we talk about Taoist alchemy, a lot of people don't understand what that means. Taoism is essentially a return to nature. And when we talk about emotions, we look at, like, yin and yang energy. If we're too much in our yang energy, excuse me, choking on my drink. If you're too much in your yang energy, it's like a tree that's very old and brittle. And the wind is like the emotions. And if you fight the wind, you're like, no, I'm not going to feel that. It's like the branches start to break and fall off. Okay. And that's more and more too much in our yang energy. Versus if we understand the balance of being able to oscillate between our yin and yang energy, we'll be more like a subtle plant that just dances in the wind and allows the emotions to move through us rather than fighting the emotions. And when I share that, that's something that I really struggled with. I had a lot of anger back in the day, and learning how to allow those emotions to move through me rather than fighting them was a massive part of my healing process. So oftentimes when we talk about shadow work and we talk about the healing journey, it's often comes down to reframing the stories that we have around our emotions, because emotions are just energy. It's energy in motion or it's not. And so when we learn how to allow those emotions to move through us, this is extremely powerful. Specifically, when we talk about allowing those emotions to move through us, a big part of that is the grounding process, feeling safe, having strong roots. And when you have that, then you can dance with the wind instead of fighting the wind. I feel like that's a big issue for a lot of people, is they don't understand how their emotions work. And often I have clients who tell me, like, oh, I didn't understand how to express myself authentically. And in doing that, that's a massive part of healing, being able to, like, feel safe in your body and being able to express yourself. And that comes down to being grounded and allowing the emotions to move through you and figuring out what's really going on. What is the root cause of what's creating your suffering or pain in your life? And I love sharing that journey with people, because it's just so beautiful to see them come to this place where they realize how safe they can be, how much they can honor their emotions rather than stuffing, storing, suppressing, and repressing them.
Have you been over to the East?
Yes. Well, I've been to Southeast Asia, been to Cambodia, Vietnam, Malaysia, Thailand. I meditated with Buddhist monks. So I've actually been to some of these ancient temples. I've had the opportunity to experience being with some of these ancient wizards and just feeling their energy, being in like Cambodia, like Siem Reap, Angkor Wat, and being in those spaces where you actually experience that, or being in Bali and whatnot. So I've been really blessed to actually experience some of these ancient places that really, they're in the embodiment of the energy of divine healing and ancient wisdom.
Could you give us an example of an experience you had over there that maybe we don't get here in the West?
Yeah, for sure. I was at this temple in Cambodia, and it was hotter than anything you've ever experienced in your life. It's like in the Cambodian jungle, and I'm sweating. It's like you're taking a shower because you're sweating so much. And I went and I was sitting and I was doing some meditation, and clearly I didn't know what I was doing. This crippled, like paraplegic monk crawls over to me, and I'm like sitting there sweating balls. I'm like, oh, what's up? And then, like, they couldn't really speak my language. They started, like, grabbing my hands, like, with their one arm and showing me mudras and, like showing me how to, like, hold my hands and hold these different positions. I'm sitting here just sweating my butt off. I'm like, what is this person trying to do? And so they showed me these different positions. And as I'm sure you're aware, it was, like, different positions help you to kind of tune into the universe and whatnot. So that was such a powerful, authentic experience to be in this ancient temple and have this crippled Buddhist monk come over and just show me how to do these different hand positions. I just felt so honored to have somebody who's like, you get around these Buddhist monks and they have like nothing. And then this person like was missing arms and legs, and they're just there honoring me and showing me how to do things properly. So that was a pretty wild experience for me to actually experience a Buddhist monk showing me some of those mudras and hand positions.
That's amazing, because I was about to ask you about what masters you've seen over there, and you answered that question perfectly. It just wasn't in the package that I was expecting it to be. But yeah, that concept of sitting in a position, ecstatic trance is another version of that, where you're in like the figurines that they find in the temples. They're all in those positions that are supposed to signal or act like an antenna for some experience.
Yeah, one of my mentors, who's a Taoist shaman, she told me that 50% of enlightenment is posture. It's those positions that we hold that connect our nervous system to the higher realms and lower realms and help us to transcend duality and be really in tune with our bodies. It's like a radio antenna, right?
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned that earlier as well, that it all comes down to emotions and regulating your nervous system. And to me, I hear of, when I hear that, I think of electro, like the electricity of the nerves and the magnetism of the heart and mm-hmm. the emotions. So why is it just these two? Like for other people, they think that there's all this other stuff that is important, and you're like, emotions, nervous systems.
Yes. Well, I mean, over the years, I'm sure you noticed this, like with running your gym too. It's like, you know, you build a good fitness program and most people are getting great results. I realized this years ago. It's like, I have a system. Boom. I say system, save yourself time, energy, and money. System, right? Save yourself time, energy, and money. So I had a great system running my gyms. And I noticed how some people weren't getting results. And at first I thought it was me, you know, like, what am I doing wrong? How do I tweak my system? You know, I want to help my clients get results. And I realized that with certain people, there was an emotional frequency that was blocking them. And my clients were very comfortable. I coached a lot of women. They actually called me the mommy whisperer for a while. I was helping so many mothers lose weight, help my own mom lose 60 pounds. And I realized there was an emotional component that I had never learned about. Part of that was me going through my own journey of understanding emotions. But a lot of people, like when their emotions are in disharmony, this actually leads to a dysregulated nervous system. So people have trauma, they have alcohol abuse, drug abuse, something like that. And it will cause this nervous system dysregulation. And so what this means, and from a Western perspective, is often disassociation. People are not connected to their bodies. And so I realized, like, fitness is great for that, you know? And one of the things I learned from the shaman who coached me said, you know, fitness is that yang energy. It's movement, right? You got to move energy. But then other times you need to be in that yin energy where you sit with it and allow yourself to like really get into like, what is the roots of this pain or this suffering? So understanding how to use those different energies is crucial to people's healing journey. Cause sometimes you're going to move the energy, sometimes you're going to sit with the energy. And this is where having an experienced practitioner really helps, cause they're able to help you to understand what energy you need at that time based upon your healing practice and your healing journey and whatnot. But specifically when we talk about the nervous system, right? If your nervous system is dysregulated, oftentimes that shows up as people being constantly in fight or flight mode, or even in freeze mode. I mentioned this in my book a little bit too. And so as we go through this process of understanding how to regulate our emotions, we can move from that fight or flight mode to rest and recovery. That's a very healthy nervous system. Now, oftentimes in our modern society, with the ridiculous stuff going on in the world, people are constantly have their foot on the pedal and they're going hard all the times. And this is the constant yang energy, constant movement where it's burning them out. And so I've found like one of the most important things I'm teaching on a regular basis now is meditation and breath work. So I can teach people how to get back into their bodies, feeling safe in their bodies, feeling more grounded. And just like you're talking about that electromagnetic frequency, masculine energy is electric, feminine energy is magnetic. So when we learn how to like really embody that feminine energy and be able to sit with our stuff, we actually open up our nervous system to the quantum field and we start attracting new and better things into our life because we have that regulated nervous system. We actually activate that divine magnetic feminine energy within all of us. And then boom, like, why did this show up for me? Like, I'll give you an example. So years ago, I was running my first gym and I really want to open a second gym. And I was in my head all the time, just like, how do I do this? How do I open the second gym? What do I do? And all of a sudden I was just like, this isn't working. I just kind of gave up. I just started meditating and like really going deep into what that image felt like of me opening a second gym. And after like literally 3 months of that, one of my clients came to me. She's like, do you want to open a gym with me? Like, I'll pay you to build it. And then I'll pay you to coach my employees. And I was like, bruh, that was so much easier than trying to do it all on my own. And I tell that story often because what did I do? I didn't do anything. I just sat. I got calm and the field opened up for me. And I literally doubled my income. I got to reach more people. I was doing speeches for a 9-figure company and I was making all my dreams come true. And was it because I was active and trying to do all these things? No, it's because I calmed down. I really got in touch with my body. I got grounded. And then things and places and people and things just started showing up for me. And that allowed me to take my message out to more people. It was a blessing. So I often share that story with people. Sometimes doing stuff isn't the answer. It's being. It's the embodiment practice, as I was mentioning before we started the recording. So you get to that space where your nervous system is really calm. That's when you're connected to the quantum field, which is what I talk about in the first chapter of my book. And we have to be able to learn how to calm ourselves down. And we're in that calm space. That's where the magic occurs.
I really like how you put things in a very simple manner. You talking about that reminded me of the beginning part of your book. You start talking about the different, like, what is quantum thinking and the difference between that and then being stuck in the past. And then you eventually get into masculine, feminine, and the different ways the brain operates, like the triune brain. And this is all stuff I learned in psychology. I have a degree in psychology 20 years ago, but it's stuff that would take an entire semester to learn. And you're like, in a few sentences, this is how it works. And it was amazing how you do that. And that concept of masculine, feminine, and penetrative energy of forcing versus just being open, it's definitely something we can all receive more of. So how do you work with people nowadays
teach them this? Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I have different levels. I mean, the book is super affordable. It's $15 on Amazon. So I want to make my teachings affordable to anybody. But I have a group program within the Alchemy Healing Academy. It's an inner circle program where we meet twice a week, do meditations, breath work, and I'm doing different teachings. And then my primary focus is doing one-on-one coaching. When I work with somebody one-on-one, usually for 3 to 6 months, and we dive into whatever their blocks are, their stories, their limiting beliefs, and support them through that process so they can finally become whole and feel safe in their bodies. And that's where, like I said before, the magic happens, because they really feel safe and embodied. And when you feel safe and embodied, that's when you can start to manifest your dreams. Oftentimes people's struggles, it's usually some kind of limiting belief or story or unconscious thing that's actually really just something it's a density, essentially. And when we work through those densities, everything shifts. And so, yeah, there's three different ways. Just getting my book, doing work with me in my group program, or doing one-on-one coaching. So I have three different stages of working with people.
I believe we've covered a little bit about your book. My experience with it was it was amazing. It was a quick read, but you should actually probably not go through it as fast as I did. Maybe just let the exercises digest, and then also take the time to do them. Let's go on to your group coaching. What could somebody expect if they got into that? Because I'm on your website and I look through a lot of your free content, and I can tell from the free content that whatever membership you have that's paid has to be amazing, because your free content is like out of this world.
Thank you. I appreciate that, because I'm still like figuring out how to market everything. I got a good little crew and I want it to grow because I'm just so passionate about teaching this stuff. But basically the group calls, like this month, this is the book I'm actually teaching right now, is The Power of Five Elements. So I'm teaching five element theory in my school. Back in January, I was teaching psychic abilities. And before that, in December, because it's like the death season, essentially, the winter season,
right?
I was teaching the Tibetan Book of Living and Dying. So like a lot of my teachings in the school is just, I'm really like, I've had astrologers and psychics tell me I was born to be a teacher. I'm like, well, no shit. I've been doing this 20 years, right? But essentially, I'm just taking all this ancient wisdom, I boil it down and turn it into these presentations. And that's essentially what my school is all about. So when people join my school, we do meditations on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 7 p.m. Pacific time. And then on Thursday from 6 to 7, I do a different teaching. And so last week I went into the five spirits, which is a super deep topic. We could talk about the five spirits for a whole podcast interview. But essentially the five spirits, I don't know if you studied five element theory, but there's five specific elements that work within the body associated with five different primary organs. And there's yin and yang organs. This is a very long, deep subject, but I'll break it down simply. So these five spirits, if let's say you drink too much and you damage the liver spirit, which is the hun, okay, there will actually be dark spirits that come in and take its place and start actually affecting all the other spirits within your body. The thing that I love about that, whether you believe in spirits or not, spirit to me is just breath, is that it's a totally different approach to the healing process. When you start to see things from a spiritual essence, rather than like in the West, everything is separate. You got to go see a doctor for your foot, got to see a doctor for your heart. But in the East, everything is interconnected. And I believe that both are very valuable. You know, sometimes you really got to go see somebody who's just a specialist in something, but we also need to be able to see things as a whole. So when I'm teaching the five spirits or five element theory, it's teaching people this basically what it says in the book on five spirits is that it's a roadmap to the human psyche. It's a roadmap to the human psyche. And psyche means soul in Greek. So it's a roadmap to the soul. the thing that I love most about Eastern philosophy is that they believe that, you know, most disease arises from suppressed or repressed emotions. And I don't believe that's true in every situation, but I believe it's a lot more prevalent than people think. And the essence to healing really comes down to embodying the soul. In the East, like from based on my what I've learned, is that if the soul is embodied, you don't get sick. If the soul is not embodied, if those some of those five spirits are out of balance, then you're going to get sick. The whole essence of my teaching in the Alchemy Healing Academy is to teach people how to become what's called a Taoist immortal. Now, when I say a Taoist immortal, not that you're completely immortal, but you won't get sick. If you do get sick, you heal faster. You're going to live longer. But more importantly, the essence, the flow, the way that you live your life is going to be, it's like you're dancing. It's like that analogy of the tree. You're just dancing through life, you know, because you're a living embodiment of the teachings. So you're doing the breath work, you're doing the meditation, you're exercising, you're eating healthy. Basically, you're doing the opposite of everything that's on TV and just like really honoring you, right? It's funny I say that because my dad worked in Hollywood. You're basically just really connected to the earth. You're connected to your soul. And it just, everything shifts. It's absolutely beautiful.
Dad worked in Hollywood.
Yes. Yes.
So you grew up in Hollywood?
I did. My father worked on The Wonder Years. He worked on Desperate Housewives. He's a 40-year, 10-time Emmy nominee for Sound Mixer. So he loves that we're on microphones right now. He's super nerd when it comes to microphones. But yeah, he's multiple-time Emmy nominee. And honestly, like having a father working in Hollywood is really powerful because my father's very spiritual too, which is a blessing. And just like seeing how he navigated one of the wildest industries in the world and maintaining his health. And talk about mental health problems. I'd say that the entertainment industry has a ridiculous amount of mental health challenges. But also growing up in that environment, like my father worked on Star Wars. So I got to hang out with George Lucas when I was a little boy. I was hanging out with Francis Ford Coppola. My dad did a couple of Robin Williams movies. Is that it really, like, this may sound weird, but it just gave me this mindset that you can make all your dreams come true. Because I grew up around like movie stars, not that I really care about movie stars, but just seeing the magic of having a script and a story and putting it together and actually creating this beautiful story that affects people at a very deep subconscious level in terms of some of these films my dad's worked on, but then seeing it from behind the scenes. Like one of my favorite TV shows was The Wonder Years. Have you ever watched The Wonder Years? But one of the cool things about the show is one of the first shows in history where they actually had Fred Savage, who was Kevin Arnold in the show. They had his human consciousness. Like he'd be like talking to a girl and they'd have a voice come into a voice of his head. He'd be like, hubba, 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 checking out this hottie. Yeah. And so like, it was really interesting to see how his consciousness was involved in the show. And I'd never seen that before. I was really a little boy and I was like, wow, what's my consciousness? So it was really interesting to see how they'd be filming it. And then have another voice come in and say what his consciousness was saying while he was in the middle of a scene. So it was really unique to see that as a little boy on these different film sets and whatnot. So it was a pretty interesting experience. And the other side of that too, that I'd love to mention, that my father being a sound mixer, this relates a lot to healing, is he always told me that most people don't listen with their heart. And if you take your heart and you look at the center of the word heart, it's ear. And when you take your ears and put them together, it's actually the shape of a heart. And so my father taught me when it comes to healing, it's really about tuning into people at a soul level and listening to their heart and then helping them to listen to their own heart. And that's been a big part of my process of understanding the healing journey and learning that from my father too, like really like listening to people at a soul level. And I feel like if we do more of that, it would heal a lot of people.
It's crazy hearing you talk about the different sides of Hollywood, because a few minutes ago you essentially said the opposite of they tell you what to do on TV, but then mm-hmm. you also have this behind the scenes experience with Hollywood. Mm-hmm. And I lived in LA for, I guess I still do. I lived in LA for 18 years. I'm like an hour outside of it. I moved a little bit away. I'm in Ventura now. And a lot of the people that I know that are in the industry are very conscious, very aware, very in tuned. However, when you look at the end product of what Hollywood is, it seems to be on the other side, if there are sides. Mm-hmm. It's this weird polarity that is colored in for us to figure out. I like it. Was there any other insights from having that childhood? Because that's not something everybody gets growing up.
No, it's definitely unique. I'd say, honestly, like when I was a little kid, I would be, I think this led to me getting into shadow work too, actually, is that just seeing how things are made behind the scenes and then going out in the world and seeing how people are literally reenacting what they see on TV. And then like me realizing like that was all fake. And why are you acting like these people on TV when they're fake? Like my dad was filming the Wonder Years. And so I remember like friends would make, people would make fun of me like, oh, I'm being myself. I'm like, no, you're not. You're acting like the people on TV. That was take six of this episode that I saw. And I was there when they filmed it and they failed six times. And you're just acting like that one take and whatnot. So the power of, I mean, a magician's wand is made of holy wood. You talk about Hollywood, right? And I think the most important thing that I've learned from being behind the scenes of Hollywood, which is essentially a bunch of magicians, is learning the magic of the human body and the magic of healing and the images and the stories that we create within ourselves. Like a recent book that I read was really powerful, was called The Story Wars. And it's basically like Star Wars. And one of the things it talks about is a lot of Hollywood is about disempowerment marketing. They're disempowering you. If you buy this product, you'll feel better about yourself. Your butt's too small, your car's too ugly, your hair sucks or whatever it is. They're going to come up with some kind of thing to make you feel disempowered. Now, I feel that like with healers and like the stuff that like you and I are doing, we're doing empowerment marketing. And one of the things that I joined about this book, Star Wars, Story Wars, is essentially it comes down to like your product, right? Right. I'm Yoda. My product is this lightsaber, right? And you are Luke Skywalker. And I'm going to teach you how to use this lightsaber to conquer your shadows, to conquer your Darth Vader in your life. And so that's something that I love about the whole empowerment marketing. Because I know you're really into marketing too. How can we empower people to understand their power, to become their own healer, to take their power back from the corruption in Hollywood too? There's a lot of beauty, like it's yin and yang. There's a dark side to Hollywood for sure. There's also a light side. My father's a very spiritual guy. He's got clairaudience. That's why he became a sound mixer, you know? And so the key thing here is to understand that it's a hero's journey. That's what this is about. We're teaching everybody to be their own hero in their own life, learn how to become that Luke Skywalker who can conquer their own demons or actually integrate those demons and actually honor their healing journey. Because so much of our society, specifically Hollywood and the film industry, is about disempowerment. But I feel that that is changing because humanity is going through this process where like, I'm sick of this crap. I really want to get to know myself at a deeper level. And that's a lot of what my book does for people. So it gives them the simple tools. I love that you said that's simple because it's like I made it so that the average person can take this wisdom and begin to integrate it immediately into their lives. And yeah, you shouldn't read it too. I'd say read the book and then come back and do all the workbook questions in there too, because that's essentially what this is about, you guys. Is my book teaches you how to become your own healer. My book teaches you how to become the hero in your story. Because one of the things that I love most about doing shadow work is actually, I just opened my book to a random page, and this is page 83. It says, possibly the greatest gold nugget from doing this inner work with your emotions is that as you integrate your shadow, you'll eventually be able to see other when others are projecting their shadow onto you, and you'll become less triggered by them. Now, that's one of the things I love most, because once you do your shadow work, you're like, oh, that's not like you'll trigger somebody else and you'll reckon, oh, they're just projecting their shadow onto me instead of you being triggered. So I've actually had clients who said it saved my marriage. It saved my relationship. It allowed me to heal myself because you recognize you're co-creating so many of your relationships. And most people, they're so unconscious to that. They recognize, oh, I've been triggered. Instead of being triggered, they actually unpackage that trigger and examine the root cause, which is actually a deeply suppressed emotion. And after going through that process, that's when you become told, that's when you become healed and all become whole, and then you can actually support other people because you recognize them projecting their shadow onto you. And that is priceless, like literally saving relationships, saving people's lives.
And I like how you say support other people and not just pointing the finger and saying, you're projecting your shadow onto me. So what's the tool for when you realize somebody else is releasing onto you? Besides pointing, like what is one to do in that scenario?
Well, I always say the first thing is to be grounded, to feel centered, and always connect with like your solar plexus, the center of your body, and then pay attention to the resonance. Is this coming from their higher self or is this coming from their lower self? And is it authentic? Is it true? So I always believe that like everybody is highly intuitive, but with so many people have suppressed their intuitive abilities. So as we become grounded and we tune into our belly, our intuition, and we can honor, is this real or is this really me? And start to examine the truth behind it. I always like to say the center of the word truth is you. Right, as you can tell, I'm a wordsmith. And as you begin to recognize like where that resonance is coming from, this is what allows you to show up more authentically because you're honoring people at whatever level of consciousness they are at. Does that make sense?
If you know the levels of consciousness, it does.
Yes. Yes.
Which I think you put a graph in here, didn't you? Yeah, I think you did. But let's move on to, you mentioned one-on-one coaching. So same question on that. If somebody was interested in that, what is, like, what should they expect? I'm sure it's not the same for everyone, but yeah, maybe a story about how that looks.
Yeah, well, that's the thing I love about, like fitness coaching kind of got easy for me, and I still do fitness coaching because it's kind of the same stuff, slightly different. But when we do shadow work, it's like, oh my God, we're diving into the roots, and each person's a little bit different. I feel like I'm like a detective or like an auto mechanic. We're listening, we hear a sound like in the engine, we got to lift up the hood and figure out what's going on in here. And so oftentimes when I say that, what I'm doing specifically, as I mentioned, my father was a sound mixer and he taught me how to really deeply listen to people. So when I do coaching sessions with people, I don't just listen to the surface level stuff. I listen to the rate, the pitch, the tone, the inflection. What are the power words that are describing somebody's reality at a subconscious or an unconscious level? So like an example of what I'm talking about here, there's this analogy that I use of a boat. So if you can imagine a boat is heading towards its destination, there's like an island destination. Let's say you want to lose weight, get in shape, make more money, whatever it is. So like, let's say you're rowing on that boat. You're like, all right, yeah, I'm going to lose weight. We'll just use losing weight because we're talking about fitness. So you're rowing. But what happens is the subconscious mind is the current. So what you're doing is if you have subconscious limiting beliefs, I'm not worthy of love, money doesn't grow on trees, my feelings aren't valid, some kind of story subconsciously, and you're fighting the current, you're going to waste a lot of energy or essence or jing is what we talk about in Taoist alchemy. So you're just rowing, going nowhere, and it's like driving you crazy because you're not getting to your goal and whatnot. And so what happens, like, that's the subconscious. That's the space where the images or beliefs are. Now, what happens is, this is one of the first things that I teach people, what I'm sharing with you guys right now, this boat analogy. What happens is many people are actually sitting on the back of the boat. This is I'm sure you studied Alan Watts a little bit. Mm-hmm. So Alan Watts talks about this. Many people, they're sitting on the back of the boat, looking at the wake of the ship. And they're like, well, the wake of the ship is why I'm where I'm at right now. And so they're like, well, look at the wake, it's disappearing. And like, they're identifying with their past. Where's the boat going? No wonder your dreams aren't happening. No wonder your goals aren't occurring, right? So what happens there is, and people aren't just sitting on the back of the boat. They've thrown an anchor into the water, maybe multiple anchors, and they're anchored way deep in the unconscious mind on a rock. And that rock is just a blob or a shape. And I like to use that analogy to help differentiate conscious mind above the surface. Subconscious mind is the current, and the unconscious mind is deep below the surface. And if people are anchored to this frequency of energy, they're literally just going in circles, in circles. And they're wondering, why am I struggling so much? This is what the root cause of many people's mental and emotional health problems are, because they're literally going on circles because they haven't identified what is the unconscious barrier, belief, story that's keeping them stuck. So when I talk about the 3-month journey, I get very clear on where people are sitting on the back of the boat. What are those emotions that they're deeply anchored to? And then we shift the current of the subconscious mind, and then boom, now you're making more money. Now you're finding true love. Now you're manifesting your dreams, because that current will take you to your dreams once you get your subconscious mind in the right space. And so that, like I said, is just an image, a story, but that helps people to shift the story they have, because 80% of change always happens at the identity level of our consciousness. I'll say that again. 80% of our change happens at the identity level of our consciousness. Because, you know, you can have the best strategy in the world, but if you're still identifying as a victim, how are you going to manifest your dreams? You know, I've been really blessed to make most of my dreams come true. Gyms, film studio, publishing a book. Now I have an online school. And I still have my barriers too. I'm still working on myself, you know, but a lot of that is recognizing, like, what is the frequency that's blocking me from manifesting my dreams? And as you work through those frequencies, a lot of it's just dense. It's like that unconscious, like this rock where you're identifying, you're just stuck in that space. And as you transmute that, you transcend, like to say, end the trance, then things just shift. Because a lot of times it's so much easier manifesting your dreams than you think, but you have to change the way you think and start doing the embodiment practices and honoring the healing journey. And then coming back to regulating your nervous system is often a big part of that practice too. And that takes a few months to actually do that. If you've had years and years and years of suppressed trauma, it takes usually 3 to 6 months to go through that journey to support people through healing.
And why do you think, you're in this? Like, what draws you to this type of work?
You know, it's funny. A lady asked me that yesterday. She's like, why do you do this? You know, and the truth is, like, I'm extremely empathic, like highly empathic. Like I used to, like I quit drinking over a year ago, and I'm just like super like pure, connected to the field and whatnot. And so when I'm around people and I just feel their pain and their suffering, it's very difficult for me. And I found that, like, a lot of other empaths are drawn to me, and I'm coaching other empaths to like build their coaching practice and whatnot too, not just teaching the shadow work. But for me, it's about just, I just don't like understand human suffering. Like we have all these tools. Why are people suffering so much? And so it took a lot of like me going through my own suffering, like I said, through Western medicine, and then getting the space where I found all these ancient tools that we've forgotten about. I'm just massively inspired to get on as many stages, to teach this wisdom to as many people as possible, so people can take their power back from this corrupt pharmaceutical system, the corrupt medical system, and our food system that are basically poisoning everybody. It doesn't make any sense to me when we have these tools, like people like you and me who are out here teaching this wisdom to so many people, you know, and I know that you and I are making some great traction, but I feel that there's a massive need for more people to heal collectively. Something I mentioned before we got on this call is that there's a collective unconscious, and Carl Jung talked about this too. There's a collective unconsciousness to humanity. And so each person that I teach these tools to, and they heal their unconscious, they are healing the collective unconsciousness of humanity. So that is my biggest motivation. I just love that moment when you look in somebody's face and their eyes light up. It's like a moment of Satori in Japanese, a sudden enlightenment, when they realize they have the power to heal themselves. They have the power to heal their generational pain. They have the power to finally, authentically love themselves. And that to me is absolutely priceless. And that's why I'm doing this work, man. You know, like I grew up in a wealthy area. I've been around a lot of like fame and wealth through my life. And it's like, I don't care about any of that. I just want to see more people heal. When I say heal, it means to become whole. And the more people we get to do that, as I mentioned, it heals the collective unconsciousness. And we need that probably more so now than ever before in history.
That's why we're here.
Yes.
That is why we're here. For somebody that has never heard shadow work before, where do they start? Like if you meet somebody on a bus and you start talking about shadow work and they say, what is that? What's your answer to that?
So to put it, it's a very deep subject, right? People ask me that all the time. So I tell people the Jungian quote, making the unconscious conscious, recognizing the suppressed, repressed, and denied emotions that are limiting your capacity to be your greatest self. So it's working with those. It's essentially, like, to put it simply, it's like your yin and yang energy. It's like acknowledging the dark side. And as you acknowledge that dark side, you find the real light within yourself. And I often tell people that when we talk about shadow work, it's like growing the roots of a tree. Like people are like, why isn't the tree growing? Why aren't the branches growing? It's like, you never grew the roots, bro. And so when we do shadow work, it's when we get into the darkness and we actually nourish those roots and we allow them to grow and to develop. And we honor that healing process. Now the branches are growing effortlessly because we're actually got down into those roots. Or another example is like, you're mowing your lawn and you keep just mowing down the weeds and they keep coming back. Like, why not go out and actually pull them out from the root? And now you no longer have these weeds growing in your yard and whatnot. Or another analogy, just love using the analogies.
Keep up the stories. I love it.
Is that stars don't shine without darkness. And so like when you honor your, like, it's my dark side, it's so scary. And like I'm joking around, but a lot of people aren't taught this stuff. That's why I'm so passionate about teaching it. But stars don't shine without darkness. And when you acknowledge your dark side, then you finally shine because you're acknowledging the anger, the guilt, the shame, the sadness, all these things that society has told you that you're not good enough. Your feelings aren't valid. So you stuff them down deep within yourself and you finally integrate all those suppressed emotions and you finally feel this deep relief, this deep essence of happiness that you've never experienced in your life. And that is the real magic of this whole journey, is understanding how to go through that process. So when we talk about shadow work, it's just like I said, making the unconscious conscious so we can be our best selves.
That's amazing. The last interview I had, we were talking about making the unknown known. And so it's being reflected here.
Mm-hmm.
You also mentioned your father was clairaudient. Did you literally mean he, well, I'll just ask you, what did you mean by that?
So when we talk about psychic abilities, I'm not an expert at this topic, but I have taught it. So like there's all these different clairs, clairaudience, clairvoyance, clairsentience. And so like I could just go into a whole lesson on psychic abilities here. So like my dad just has this gift, like where he can just hear like through walls and shit. Like he just hears everything because he's just in tune to the field. He's like on the spectrum and whatnot. And so everybody actually has these clairs. It's just developing it within your nervous system, as we were talking about before. And so like my dad, I remember when I was a kid, I'd be like I was like a teenager. I'd be like out in front of the house. And I'm like talking to my friends about like whatever trouble we were going to get in the weekend. And I walk in the house. My dad would word for word recite everything that I just said. I was like, how did you know that we're going to go up in the mountains and get drunk this weekend? And I'm like 15. Like, how did you know that? And he could just hear everything. And so a lot of that, those clairs come down to what's called siddhis and having to like balance our chakras, these internal energetic centers of the body. I mean, that we could talk about that too. But as we learn to balance these internal chakra energy centers, that's when we begin to access these clairs. And there's specific exercises that I actually teach in my school with psychic abilities, with specific breath exercises and visualizations. You can actually cultivate those abilities within yourself. And that's a whole different deep subject, but super potent, super powerful, because we all have superpowers. We've just forgotten them. We've been consuming too much poisons and whatnot. And we're too in our heads and not in our bodies enough. But that's where the real superpowers are, when we actually really connect to our bodies and specifically our heart.
Do you have any examples of a transformation of somebody that weren't aware of a power, and then they went through some of these exercises and grasped one of them?
Yeah, no, totally. So like there's a specific exercise that I was having people do when we're doing our psychic abilities. And this client of mine was actually a massage therapist. He said that after doing it for a while, he could actually like tune in and like he could almost like hear people's pain. Like he was like touching their bodies, but he was actually like listening to their bodies as I was working on them. And so doing these psychic exercises, he was able to tune into a different frequency. Because oftentimes we're not even conscious of the blocks that we have that are limiting us. So as we do these exercises, as I was mentioning before, it breaks down this density and it shifts this frequency and it opens up our field to these abilities that have always been present within us, you know? And so, like I said, this massage therapist, he was doing these exercises and all of a sudden he could just tune in and actually hear where people were being blocked. He could feel it and he could actually hear it. So I thought that was pretty interesting because it's all density of matter and whatnot. And when you actually access these abilities, you're able to transmute and transcend these densities that people are experiencing within their bodies. We're all super powerful healers. We just forgot.
Mm-hmm. Is there any way you could give us a hint of something tangible from one of these exercises that we could practice?
Yeah, I'll share one. So essentially what you do with this one exercise, like this is a simple, but it takes like 5-10 minutes. Basically what you do is you tune in to your heart, your chest. A lot of this is like moving energy. It's like you're like in your head running a freaking like a hamster on a wheel, right? About learning to get out of your head and move the energy of your mind through your body, and actually visualizations too. So an example is what you do is you actually tune into your heart space. Okay. And then as you inhale, a little clear my nose real quick. So I was like, that was a great inhale. So you inhale and you're tuning into your chest. And then you also imagine the sun up above you. So inhale for about 4 seconds, imagining the sun above you. And then you slowly exhale for 11 seconds. And you imagine the rays of the sun coming down and penetrating into your head, your spine, and into your heart. And then you inhale and just imagine that sun up there above you. And you exhale slowly and imagine the sun penetrating, the rays of light coming down into your spine, into your back, and into your heart. And you do that for about 5 minutes, just like 4 seconds inhale and 11 seconds exhale, just working on tuning your mind into this light and imagine it coming down into your body. Because according to this book, I don't know if I have it here in front of me, it's called Psychic Energy. My mentor actually gave it to me. And he said that as you do that, because you're learning how to move energy, instead of the energy just being in your head, you're like tuning into your heart and you're tuning into this light. And so the more you do that, you're actually tuning into the field. So you're using these visualizations and specific breath techniques. I know you're into like kriyas and whatnot too. You're actually tapping into this ability to connect with your higher self and moving that energy of light and bringing it down into your body. According to this book, there's massive amounts of psychic energy coming into the field constantly. And it's really just our opportunity to tune into that allows us to access those abilities.
It's literally a choice.
Yeah.
And you use your imagination. Mm-hmm. It's like we operate in this physical realm with our physical body, and we operate in this other metaphysical realm with our imagination and eventually our emotions.
Well, you said it perfectly. It's all about the imagination. A lot of people don't recognize how powerful our imaginations are when it comes to our healing.
It really is. I started doing work like that where I'm imagining other dimensions and realms and then traveling through it over 20 years ago, like 25 years ago. And it's crazy because at first I was like, how can this be real? We're all taught that our imagination is fake and it's just us making it up.
Yeah.
But if we're spiritual beings, if we're multidimensional entities, then that is a reality unto its own. And essentially what I get from studying all of the other philosophies is that that's actually the origin of this physical reality.
Yeah. Well, the root of the word imagination is magi. Imagination. Right. And so understanding the magic of our imagination to be able to, like, whoever's watching this, listening to this, you're creating your reality. You know, it just depends upon how in tune you are with your heart and your soul, the power that you have to be in that space of manifestation. And that comes down to your imagination. Are you controlling your mind, or are you allowing external things to control your reality? Because as you tune in, that's when the real superpowers come through for you.
So you mentioned a few courses that had other topics besides shadow work. Is courses something that you're offering on your website?
Yeah. So right now I just have the Shadow Awakening video course, which goes with my book. It's an 8-part video series. And basically you use it with the book and it helps you to go through the whole process of shadow awakening to like tune into your shadow and integrate it and whatnot. But over the course of the next few months, I mean, it's up for free right now, but I'm actually going to turn it into a product soon, like a low ticket product, is the money shadow workshop that is on my website currently. And eventually I'm going to take that off the website and then sell that product for like super cheap. But you can actually learn about what blocks you have when it comes to money in your shadow. But my vision is to have a whole range of courses that people can utilize. I want to make it affordable for anybody to access the stuff that I'm teaching. And so I'm going to have the vision is to long-term have this whole range of different courses that people can go through to learn the healing arts and apply these tools to themselves and learn how to heal themselves. And then after people go through those courses, then they can tune into my online school and get more one-on-one support depending on what their needs are.
I definitely want to encourage everybody to go to alchemyhealingacademy.com and check out these courses, whether they're paid or free, because they're nice. Like, you will be impressed. You will receive some life changing information. And I was just skimming through it, and that's what I got out of it. So I asked you about why you were doing this. Do you have a vision of the future? I know you were talking about healing the collective unconscious so that, or through the individual, but what's next for you? Like, what direction are you headed? Where are you steering your boat towards?
Yeah. My vision is, to continue to build my school, but eventually I'd like to create my own alchemy healer certification. So people could go through, I haven't got it all planned out yet, but I want to continue to practice. I'm a certified quantum healer, so I want to continue to practice and develop my skills. And then in the next year, launch my own certification. And then eventually, I would love to have like a private healing center. Nothing big, just like small. And I want to do vision quests. I want to get people back to nature, because a lot of my teaching all revolves around Taoism. And as I mentioned, it's about a return to nature. So getting my own private healing space up here in Northern California somewhere. I'm looking at different options and whatnot, but and then finding other tribe members, people who are doing the work, who want to heal themselves, and they want to learn how to apply these tools and support other people through the healing process. So like creating that certification and then helping more people through the healing journey, and then just getting on as many stages as possible. I got a couple of speeches next month. I think you were at the New Living Expo down in LA last month or something. There's going to be a New Living Expo up here in the Bay Area next month, actually. So I'll be attending that event too.
And you go to these events and you speak, people can meet you.
Yeah, I'll be at the New Living Expo here in San Rafael. I actually live in San Rafael next month on April 19th, 20th, and 21st. I just have a booth at that event. I'm not going to be speaking there, but I'll have a booth set up. I'll be there for 3 days talking about shadow work, selling my book, and offering coaching to people.
We have a question. It says, got a favorite manifestation technique?
Honestly, central channel breathing. So I don't know if you guys have ever heard of central channel breathing. So this is like a meditation class later today. Every meditation class, it always starts the same. We inhale into the belly, or we call the lower dantian, okay, our jing, and we exhale down into the earth. We inhale from the earth into our belly, then we exhale up into the heavens. We inhale from the heavens into our belly, and then back down into the earth. Inhale from the earth into our belly. So that's why it's called central channel breathing. So what we're doing in terms of manifestation, we're using the central channel breathing to kind of clear out our central channel, or what's known as our Tai Chi pole. And the more we exhale down into the earth, we ground ourselves, then draw energy from the earth into our belly. We exhale into the heavens, then draw the energy from the heavens into our belly. So we're charging up this essence within our belly. And this is a big part of our healing process, because we're tuning into our essence, which is down here in our belly. And so that's one of the first manifestation processes, is getting out of your head and actually tuning into your body. And I actually practice that. I'm not a big cardio guy, but I, like, once a week I'll do LSD, long, slow distance. I'll just get on a cardio machine. I'll just do breath work practice, and I'll just do breathing and just sit in a cardio machine and just like work with my breath, get out of my head, work with my breath, get out of my head, work with my breath, just drawing my energy into my belly. Extremely potent, extremely powerful. So that's a good beginner exercise that I have everybody do, central channel breathing.
I like that you're talking about doing that while doing cardio, because you get to kill two birds with one stone, so to speak. But yes. which is very efficient, and very, people want to hear that. What are the tricks that you use in your life in order to do some of these practices? Do you have anything else that you use in your life that you feel would be relevant to the audience?
Yeah, to be honest with you, I've just been working on slowing down. Like really, like in the Tao Te Ching, it says, know the yang, state of the yin, know the masculine, but state of the feminine. So I've learned, like when I was younger in my 20s, I was about pedal to the floor, going fast, going hard, you know, like proving myself. I've got nothing to prove anymore. I'm just going to be like settled in my body, continue to do my work, and just teach as many people as possible. So the slower I go, the more I can honor the healing of as many people as possible. And I'm in no rush to do that. It's really about just slowing down and honoring the journey. So that's the thing I'm focusing on, slowing down as much as possible and honoring the process.
I know a lot of people that are watching or listening to this are teachers. And you did mention that you advise or consult with teachers as well. And I also hear a resonant tone in what you're saying, that you're doing this so that others can help others. Mm-hmm. And so when it comes to somebody who's looking to get out there and or already working professionally in a field that's similar to what we're talking about, what sort of blockages do you see them facing, and how do you help them get over those hurdles?
Well, I mean, like the most basic one is imposter syndrome. You know, like, I mean, even me, I've been coaching 20 years, I got 20,000 hours of experience, and I still have days where I'm like, am I really worthy of this? You know, like I've made most of my dreams come true. And I think that happens to everybody on some level, like even like you're a public speaker too. Like I had a mentor tell me, if you don't feel a little nervous before you get on stage, it's because you don't care. So you should always have those emotions come up. It's just how they're affecting you. But a lot of coaches, I find they struggle with imposter syndrome. And I feel like right now, probably more than ever, we need more healers and coaches and people doing the work than ever before. We need to have like this army of light workers. And when I say light workers, it's people who are going into the darkness to reveal the light. That's essentially what the word guru means, to dispel darkness with light. And so the more practitioners we get working together, coming together and doing this work, it's just going to awaken the whole, like I said before, the unconsciousness of humanity, and breaking through whatever limiting beliefs you have or stories of worthiness or the imposter syndrome stuff. That's the real key, is because like, it's going to come up. I don't care where you're at. Like I've coached multimillionaires, very successful people, and they still have those limiting beliefs. Just being able to recognize them. And actually, I like to say, there's like I say this in my book, you want to find the thread and keep pulling that thread till you get to the root cause or core conflict. And as you work through those spaces, that's when you're able to transmute and shift whatever stories, beliefs, or whatever is holding you back from manifesting your dreams and showing up as the coach or healer that you're meant to be.
I love the root cause analysis. It's so relevant in business as well, to find
Indeed.
the problem, like what caused the problem. It's probably likely not the thing on the surface that broke. There's some other mechanism in the system that's broken.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, getting to that root cause, that's just everything. We just have to have the clarity around it.
And that image you made of the boat that's going around the anchor, that's amazing. It's amazing.
Yeah, I use it because all of my speeches, it's a super simple way of explaining shadow work.
Because people are literally addicted to that circle that they're in, right?
Yeah.
They're holding on to it. And then they become addicted to the anchor and they don't even know it.
No, because that's where it's the shadow work. You got to be able to identify. That's why, like, you know, you can do this work alone, but like, that's why you need someone to be that bold mirror to see things that you're showing up as, and that your voice, I can listen to people's voice. Like, oh, you're saying that, but it's really this. And just, yeah, sorry, this is what it is. I kind of like just gently break things down for people. But oftentimes the breakdown precedes the breakthrough. And so that's a lot of the work doing healing work or coaching work, is supporting people through the breakdown so they can finally have that massive breakthrough and finally be who they were always meant to be.
It's so funny. You mentioned imposter syndrome. I definitely still, like, every day I'm faced with that. Like, that's the challenge. But even shadow work, if my wife points something out that I absolutely know is true, I can feel the resistance of like, hey, I don't really want to face what you're saying because I know it's true. Anyways, there's always something. There's always another layer of the onion to peel back.
Yes.
And it almost seems to get more difficult to me, at least.
Yeah.
All right. Well, where are you at on Instagram? I don't think we covered that. We mentioned your website, Alchemy Healing Academy. Where can people find you elsewhere?
Yeah, just TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, just Alchemy Healing Academy. And just look me up. I post regular videos. I got a decent little following there. And I'm just constantly posting like short videos of me talking and just sharing some of this wisdom, like whatever's coming up with people that I'm working with. I'll talk about the different topics that we're discussing in my school and whatnot. And just gently sharing this wisdom and for getting it out there to people who need it, people who resonate with it, people who are ready to learn. And supporting them through that process. And alchemyhealingacademy.com, or check me out on Facebook. Just look up Odysseus Andrianos and get involved. You know, I want to inspire and support as many people through this journey as possible, and inspire other coaches and healers to do the work as well. Because as I mentioned, you know, it's what Ram Dass said, we're all just walking each other home, and we have to come together, hold hands, unite, and work together. And I like to always say that love is kryptonite to the people that rule the world. They do not want us loving each other in ourselves. And the more we resonate with that love, when I say the word love, it has nothing to do with the word. It's the frequency that you experience when I say that word. That is how we heal the planet and how we heal ourselves, is vibrating at that frequency of love at a consistent basis. And the more people operating that frequency, we can shatter walls, break down any barriers, and manifest our dreams like wizards.
Amazing. I'm so happy that you came on here and shared the stories, the techniques with us. I got a lot of value. I'm sure everybody else is getting value on that. And good thing this is recorded, because people can come back again and again and listen. So I'm going to end it there. Thank you so much, everybody.
Thank you.
Please look him up. There's way more to be discovered if you check him out.
Thank you. I appreciate it so much. And a pleasure to be here. Keep up the great work that you're doing, man. And anybody out there who's tuning in, you know, any of those moments where you're feeling alone or down, reach out, get support. We need community. And I would say community is communication and unity. So let's work together. Let's heal together. And let's open our hearts once again to our potential. Thank you.